Well, these are your prayers. I appreciate the thought that the Lord can take His Word and benefit a lot of different people in a lot of different ways with it, minister with it, and that's what we're counting on tonight. I've been thinking about the plan of God. I believe that the Lord has a plan. If you look into the creation of God, you'll see that He was quite a planner. He planned and created, and everything works in its perfect course and its perfect way, and all the different details and everything that He went into it, it was quite a plan. And He never has failed. And His planning always works. I believe the Lord makes a plan for us in our lives, but He don't make us follow the plan. We have the option then to go with it. We can be in sync, I believe. We can be in sync, in tune with God. But I don't believe we have to. I believe that we can go away from that plan if we want to. I don't think God ever planned for Adam and Eve to sin. But God still made a plan in case they did. He made a plan for them and the whole human race if that was the course, but it wasn't really God's plan that they do that. He always desired that they'd be in fellowship with Him. That was His plan. People's plans will ultimately always come up short. They'll always be fallible somewhere along the line. We're planners. I mean, some more than others, but I tell you, we plan. I hope my wife don't mind me saying this, but we'll be going to the store and she'll get a piece of paper and she'll write down, and that's a plan. I'm going to buy this, and you'll make a list of things that we're going to do. More often than not, we leave the list at the house. Well, it's getting better. It seems like the list is going with this. But a lot of times I'm saying, well, if you made the list once, you can make the list again. But ultimately, without it, there'll be a mess. And you know, even with the list, we come up short of it so many times. Even with it. And we'll make a plan. We're going to do this, this, and this. And how often can you actually dictate the course of your days and say, this is what I'm going to do, and actually have it to come out the way you thought or the way you decided that you was going to do it? More often than not, any plans that we lay out there, there'll be details in there that we never thought about. There'll be something happen in the middle of our planning that will cause us to completely be sidetracked by what we intended that day to be. I remember one time it was about 10 o'clock. I hadn't slept good for a couple days, and about 10 o'clock at night and pushing, and I was just thinking how nice it was going to be. And my mind was going, just in a little bit, everything going to quiet down, and I'm going to get in bed, and it's going to be so good to get into bed. And I'm just thinking that. And all of a sudden, one of the children they threw up. It was just out of blue. They wasn't sick or nothing. Just what? And it was like, what? That, well, they must have just ate something. Went and they was fevered and fussed. Oh, I was up all night with a sick child. I never planned. I had a plan. But the plan didn't come out the way I planned it. And it rarely will, folks. Well, I want to tell you tonight, God has a plan. And God's plans always work for our lives. But we've got to follow the plan that God has made for our lives. There was a man in the Bible, and I don't know the scripture, just called him a rich man. And there's this rich man, and it said that his fields brought forth plenteous. There was more than enough of it. And I don't know about you, but my mind works continually about what I'm going to do and what's the best way to do it. I think we're supposed to. How am I going to respond to this? And what is that? I mean, if he planted a crop at all he wanted it to bring forth, I mean, what? And there was a plan in the beginning of his labors that the end of it would come out with a plenteous crop. Don't you know what it had to be? He made a plan of sowing and reaping and keeping and having an abundance and being comfortable. He had a plan. And it said, the first part of this, his plan came to true. He planted, and it comes plenteous. And I can just see, the Scripture says it this way, that he's looking at all of the that he's got. And he's wondering, pondering, making a plan. What am I going to do? What am I going to do with it? I've got all this. I've got barns, but I've not got enough barns for this. I'm going to have to, and this is his planning stages. And sometimes we link negativity with that. We'll link sin with that. We'll say, he had so much that he was a sinner. Having a lot don't make you a sinner. Building bigger barns didn't make him a sinner. Well, you don't want it to waste. And until you have opportunity, you ought to do something with it. None of those things qualified him for an evil man. But what he forgot, what his real downfall was, he made a plan. And he left God out of his plan. That was his downfall, a plan without God. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. And at the end of it, he said, I'm going to say to my soul, soul, take your ease. Because you're trusting in something. My plan is coming true. I've got a plan, and it looks like it's a working. This man came to a very abrupt end. His plan come up short. Do you know he never built a barn? The Scripture never said the man built a barn. He only said he was going to build a barn. He was going to build bigger barns. He planned all the way, and all of a sudden, the Lord came and said, thou fool, you made a plan. As good a plan as it was for this life, it was a sorry plan. Because you forgot the most important element of the plan of your life. You tried to increase in wealth, prestige. You got it all around you. You could be honored, looked at. All that you thought that plan that this was going to bring you, it come to look like it was going to do it. Thou fool! Your plan was a bad plan. Because now, I'm requiring your soul. Tonight I take it. It's mine, I take it. And now, what does this all fall to? And the Scripture says of those kind of things, what man knows where it goes? Either to a wise or to the fool. You got all this to leave for this world, you don't know what it's going to go to. It could go to all kind of things. I know a situation of a man that made a similar type plans in his life. And he acquired quite a bit of money in the course of his life. And he would always say to his children, this is going to be your money. He was a God-fearing man. A man that was right among us, would come right among the saints. You know what happened to him? He died, and the money that he never gave, he was a tight-fisted man. I've seen it come time for offering, and he would pull out a little change purse and squeeze that. He had $100,000 in the bank and plus. And he would squeeze a little change purse, and what he could get in just in his fingers is what he had put in the offering. And if he dared pull out something that was green, usually a one on it, he would walk with his shoulders squared back to put it in there. I'm not making it up. And he had a plan of life. He gained in all that he could for this world. And when he died, his money went to his children. And I knew his children, I know what a lot of the money was done with. It was squandered on things that he would have never approved of. It was drunk up and threw away. You know, the Lord's got a plan better than all that for you and I. Men make all kind of plans in everything we do. We have a government now that's making all kind of plans for the betterment for the citizenry. They're making plans of what's going to make life better for us. How comfortable are you with that? Are you comfortable with the plan tonight that they're going to improve human quality. Are you comfortable that that plan's a good plan tonight? That if you and I will become tolerant of all things, we need tolerance to make it work, right? I say tonight, God says you need holiness to make it work. You need God in your life to make it work. A plan that's void of God is no plan at all that's going to work. We can try to get all these other elements in our human thinking, and if we evolve past a certain point of being able to tolerate one another's behaviors, we'll have the euphoria that we all want. No, we won't. We'll have a decadent society, and anarchy is what we'll have. Every man running to his own lust and desire is not going to be good for me or you or our children or our grandchildren. It's going to be an awful place to live in. We've tried it in our own nation. Have tried it with the, you know as well as I do, to come up with this thing that there shouldn't be prayer in school. I say, is that successful tonight? Is that a good plan? I say that's a bad plan. I'll say it this way. When I was in school, I had some teachers. I ain't putting godliness on them. They weren't godly people that I remember. I was taught in my day to honor. A teacher automatically was somebody that you honored. You know why? They had the answers. You didn't have them. The teacher had them. I had Mrs. Hines. I remember Mrs. Hines. Mr. Wood. Mr. Ware was a teacher. Mr. Cool. Mr. Matheny. Do you notice what I referred to all them as? It wasn't Bob Matheny and Jim Wood. I didn't call them that then, and I don't call them that now when I see them. Because I have had a respect that was built in respect. Do you know if somebody in that kind of authority would have mentioned the idea of God being important, it would have laid a seed in a heart, a little heart, that God's important? And you would always honor that somewhere, that someone of that caliber seen that they wasn't capable in themselves. But God helped them, and that would go on. What did the devil do? Try to take prayer out of it all. Don't let it be seen that a teacher would depend on God. The devil knows what he's doing too, but I say tonight, a plan without God's no plan not to be successful. We need God in the plan of God in our life. He has a plan. He's tailor-made. I don't know the situation of everyone in here, of course. But God does. God knows your capabilities and your weaknesses. God has tailor-made a plan for you tonight. No matter what you've been through, where you're going, what it is. God tailor-made. It's built for you. It's fitted for you. A plan that will be the ultimate in your peace, as we heard, in your joy, in the desires of life that is satisfying in a holy way. It's all built in the plan of God for your life. Some people say, I want to get sanctified? I don't know too sanctified, but I want to get too carried away with this thing because God might want me to preach. If God calls you to preach, it's because it's a plan that's right for you. You'll never be what you ought to be or what you can be. You'll never have the joy and peace that you ought to have and the success in your life outside of the plan of God. So what's He trying to do? He's making a plan that works right for you. Perfectly made. It's His plan. And it's a good plan. Can you imagine old Paul? Now, Paul's name was Saul. And he was a rascal. His testimony was he was born, he was circumcised the eighth day of the tribe of Benjamin, I think it was, and he was a Pharisee of the Pharisee. In other words, he had it down pat. You talk about a confident character in a religion. This guy had a confidence in his religion, did he not? He knew who he was, he knew what he was doing, and he was confident in it. He couldn't be shaken. He had been taught, learned by the best of the Jewish scholars. And he was up there in the elements of his religion. And nothing could shake him. Almost nothing could shake him. But God had a plan for that man named Saul. He had a plan for him. And God knew exactly how to instrument the plan that was going to absolutely rock a man named Saul. Could you imagine what kind of if you want to use the terminology, what kind of crow he had to eat. He was outspoken about this stuff. He was pushing it. He was the one that was getting the orders and getting it so he could go down there and do this stuff, and all of a sudden he runs into a light on the road to Damascus. How many of you have run into a light on the road to Neosho or anywhere? It was Paul's plan for him. It was God's plan for Paul. And if you need one, you'll have one too. But you can't compare yours with Paul. God's got one for you. He'll know how to work with you. He knew. Paul's own testimony was is that I done it ignorantly, supposing that it was the will of God. He had the right heart, and God, looking at Paul, Saul's heart, said, here's a man with the right plan I'll use mightily. And he laid out a plan, and the plan worked. He called this guy of such confidence in the Jewish religion to go to the Gentiles. Now, do you think Paul really had an extra love for the Gentiles? I'll tell you, he didn't. He did not have a love for the Gentiles. He was a Jew of the Jews. He was Pharisee of the Pharisees. He did not care for the Gentiles. But the Lord changed his heart and made him an apostle to them. You want to do what I want you to do, Paul? He said, amen. Amen, Lord. What would you have me to do? Who is this? Who are you, Lord? This is Jesus. Now, wait a minute. I think he could have handled a lot of things right there at that point. This is Jehovah. I understand. This is your father Abraham. I understand that. But not this Jesus character. I'm the one you're persecuting. This is Jesus. Lord, what'd you have me to do? Got him right there, and the plan was fulfilled in his life. But I'm going to tell you, there was no place there that made him have to do that. He could have said, I ain't following this thing. This is something, this is of the devil. He said he could have come up with a lot of things to keep from having to do it. And you'd have never heard the story. But he would have never have been what he was. He would have never have made the impact that he made had he not followed the plan that God had laid out for him. You ever hear the term, the gospel plan? The gospel plan. Old Paul run right into the plan of the gospel to work in his life. Now I say that, Lord laid it on my heart this way. Every one of us needs to run into the gospel plan. And that plan that says, this is what I want out of you. My child, this is what I want for your life. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, there's a gospel plan tailor-made for you. God's already made the plan. You look into the very character. I don't believe there's anyone in here that would come here if you didn't believe in God. You're here because you believe in God. But I want to say this more than a belief in God. There's a personal place with God, and there's a personal plan that God has for you. And God wants to implement that plan to you. He's not going to force you to accept the plan, but He wants to introduce the plan, lay it out to you, and say, this here is what's going to spare you of the terribleness of sin, the wickedness of the world. This is what's going to spare you the heartache of broken home and broken family and divorces and all these things. This is the plan that I have for you, that you'll have peace in your life. You can go to bed at night not having to wonder. You can look every man in the eye because you've done him right. I've got a plan for you that'll work in your life. It'll work in your life. Now think about a scripture, Jeremiah 29. It's a familiar scripture. If you wonder what he thinks, some people have the notion that God created everything and he left it to its doings. It runs a course. There is people that think that God made everything in its course and way, and somewhere out in the great abyss, out there somewhere, there is God, and he allows his world to run the way he made it to run, and he's pretty much out of the picture. That is not what God is. He did make it. He did set everything in its alignments, put it in its orbits and done all those things. But he's also a God that looks down on every one of us. I believe that tonight. And I believe it because, you know how to say it? He said, if you boast, let your boasting be in God. So I've seen it a lot. I tell you what, I have seen the Lord do so many things for us and with us, and it's a continual working in our lives. If you have your eyes open to see it, God is continually working and helping and blessing. And sometimes you'll think something's insignificant, and all of a sudden it blossoms out, and you see the great hand of God in it. Over and over, when we're not capable of doing anything, all of a sudden things start happening around, and God starts working, and you see Him in it, and you wonder what this great God that created everything's doing right now, and what He feels about you. Well, Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord." Now this is the Lord talking, and you might say, "I don't know." Linda and I do this. We don't do it as much as we used to, but we used to say it a lot. What are you thinking? I just love to know what she was thinking. She wanted to know what I was thinking. And so at any given time, you see a little expression, a little this or that, we'd say, "Well, honey, what you thinking?" And then you'd get into a conversation about it. "What you thinking? Would you ever wonder, Lord, what you thinking?" Yeah, boy, there's a lot of times I'm thinking, "Lord, what are you thinking?" This don't make no sense to me at all. "Lord, what are you thinking?" Well, the Lord don't always just open up and let us see the little details of all that He's doing. But there is a general idea that you and I can always have about the plan of God in our life. Because there is something that He thinks. There's something that God thinks. And He thinks it always. And this is, and it says it's here in this. It says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace." God didn't want to just rankle us up. Now, when I was young, I had some uncles that liked to just pick at you to get you stirred up. They'd kind of make fun of you, or they'd pick at you physically, or they'd say things or whatever to get you riled up good. And if my mama was here tonight, she'd tell you, because she would take the broom after them. That was her brother's. She'd take the broom after them and run them off if they got to picking on her little ones. Get them riled up. But they like to get it riled up, then they leave, see? Get off and go. What you know? God isn't about just riling you and I up with the affairs of life, or just allowing things to happen that gets us all stirred up and out of peace and out of whack with things, and then just sits up there and laughs at it. That's not what God's doing. But do you know God's plan does have some rankling in it sometimes? You know what it's for, though? He said, "My thoughts towards you is peace. I'm trying to bring you to peace. I'm trying to stir you a little bit with the things that I can use in my creation around about you." The Lord could say, "I run it all. This is my world. If I want to cause a hornets to sting you, I can send them after you. If I want to cause something to befall you, it can befall you. It's my world, and I can do what I want to with it, and I'm doing it this way." And we look and say, "God's after me, and God's doing it." No, God's not. He's got a plan for you. And what He's trying to do is help you to realize the value of the plan. And say, "Lord, I want to follow the plan." Now, there was an old brother that the Lord told him, said, I want you to go preach a message to these folks." And he up and said, "I ain't doing it. They probably wouldn't listen anyhow." So he takes off. And he ain't going to do it. And gets on his ship. You remember the story? There's a plan. Do you know there was a plan that God tailor-made for him? The people at Nineveh? If I'm not mistaken, Nineveh was the capital of the Assyrian nation or something. It was, anyway, it made a perfect plan. And a real part of that plan was Jonah. Jonah, all you got to do is do what the Lord's plan is here, and you don't have to worry about their repentance. You don't have to worry about looking stupid or foolish. Because, I mean, the Lord will choose you to do that too, but it's God's plan if you need to. And he's off on a ship somewhere. Running. You know what happened? Why did the seas raise up like that? And is that God's sea or is it not God's sea? It's God's sea. And it gets like that for what purpose? Oh, Jonah, he's running from God. He's running outside the plan. Folks, tonight, don't run outside of God's plan. God has a perfect plan for you. A plan that's going to bless you. Don't run outside of His plan. Give yourself to His plan. Wholeheartedly welcome God and His planning. Plan my life, Lord. Plan my day. Plan my week. Plan the way I go. Lord, I trust Your planning. I give it into Your hands. Planning. You plan better than I do. Plan my life. Jonah's running from the plan. Well, you know the story. They ended up coming to him and he said, yeah, I'm the man. Throw me off. And they throw him off and the Lord has mercy. It's called Plan B. God's got a Plan B for you if you've messed up. I want to say tonight, this is the wonderful plan of the gospel that you can have another chance. Yes. It doesn't end with failures. You can repent. God made a way that you can call on Him again. Isn't that wonderful? Yes. Isn't it wonderful that He just says, okay, I'm going to give you this opportunity to be saved. But if you make a mistake, I'm going to snuff you out. I'm going to wipe you off. I'm one and another. Oh, no. No, we haven't come to that mountain that quakes. We come to the living God. The mercies of God. Thank God for He's got a plan and sometimes it's Plan B. I don't know. Lord might have run through the alphabet already with me in plans. God has a plan for you tonight. He's trying to get you to this place. We know the end of the story of Jonah. He finally went down there and preached, and lo and behold, what did those people do? Well, isn't that something? God had a plan. Went down there and preached to them people, and they up and went to fasting, and they repented of the evil that they had done. And then what happened? Where's old Jonah? Out of the plan again. Out of the plan again. He's over there complaining about, why is the supposed to destroy them people? Come down your line, you're supposed to destroy it. Now, who should have been destroyed? See how the plan is. Thank God that He works with us and plans for us. He has a plan. I am convinced tonight, if you're here old enough to understand what I'm saying, know this. God's got a plan for you. He's got a plan for you in life, and it is your plan. Embrace that thing. Embrace it and say, this is my part. This is the plan God has for me in my life. And it'll bring the ultimate of success to you. It says that I know my thoughts, that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. See, I'm not bringing these things into your life to make you miserable or to make you hurt. But I know the end of you. I know the end of you. And if you follow your natural propensities, you're going to be ruined. And so the things, it's not for evil. God's saying, I don't have an evil thought towards you. I have a peace, not of evil. He says, but of good. Thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you an expected end. That's what I want to think about a little bit right now. A plan that gives us an expected end. God's expected end. An expected end for us. One that we can say, thank God for the plan. When it's all said and done, here is the reality of the gospel message. That there was a great plan in the heart of God to redeem fallen man. When man fell from God's graces, that there was a plan. The gospel plan, the plan of His dear Son coming to this earth, sacrificing and giving His life to become sin and filthiness for us that we didn't have to pay the penalty of it. That was the plan to come and redeem us and give us not a pass of all we have to do is make our resolution and we go, but to give us a divine grace in our heart to live life the way God would have us to and be successful enough in doing it that God would say, because of Jesus, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And that is the plan. But along with that plan, there is a plan for everyone that don't. And we look at it, I know many people says, there could not be a loving God that would send a soul to a devil's hell. And I don't think that we can all together understand what it all means. I really don't. I've pondered it many times. I don't know that it's possible in the human frame to even understand all those kind of things. But I will say this, that every place that God's not is hell. And it's the beginnings of hell. And there will be no presence of God in hell. And that's what it makes it what it is. And how else would you get around that? You in a sinful condition would be consumed by God. You couldn't stand before Him. It'll be because of Christ and His righteousness in you that you stand anyway. I don't know how to explain it all, but I know this. The Scripture teaches us that there's two places. And there's a plan for those two places. God plans for you and I, makes a plan in our sinful, fallen condition. God makes a plan for you and I that will redeem us away from that terrible place. He makes a plan. But when all those plans that God has made are rejected by us, whether it's A, B, C, or D, when it comes to the finale of it all, and the expected end that God desires for every one of us. That's why tribulations may come, trials may come, things may push us, floods may come, that pushes us one to another to get in God's plan. I pray that the United States of America would happen to push God or push people into the plan of God. We're getting way away from God's plan. God never intended for this country to go the way it's going. The abortions and the filthiness and all that. God never intended all that. Well, that's going to end at an expected end somewhere. There is a plan. God's plan is that somewhere in this time side of eternity, you'll meet His plan. And you'll have a wonderful expected end. That God would be able to take us and put us into His hands forever in His glorious heaven. I want to go. I want to go. But I'm going to have to follow God's plan to do it. So that's God's thoughts to us. I want to look at another scripture in 2 Peter. In the third chapter. Oh, I don't know. Let's read it from the fourth verse. And saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. Now, this gets in again to the God's plan. And you'll notice that he didn't hold off of the judgment of perdition of ungodly men. There's a plan made for everyone that fits into that category. There's a plan. God's already got it set. There's a plan for it. But He goes on and says what His heart is. This is God's heart now. In the ninth verse, it says, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's the plan. God has a plan tonight, no matter of what failure you found yourself into, no matter what shortcoming you may be in. You're in a place that you've went away from the Lord, or you've never been with the Lord, really. You're in a place of hypocrisy, or in a place like that. None of those things. There's a plan, is what I'm saying. There's a plan for every one of those. There's a way back. A God-tailored plan. Sometimes God works with people in a way that helps them. Sometimes He'll reveal to the whole earth somebody's sins. You know, He's still wanting them to just repent. Sometimes He'll deal with them until people don't know that they can come. All the different ways that God would work, I'm going to tell you. God's got a plan tonight that He's working with. And He wants and desires that you and I would come in and say amen to your plan, Lord. You made a wonderful gospel plan that is such a blessing. It works so well. We've seen it around there. I'm so glad for the Lord. I tell you, I don't know. Things happen from time to time, and it just humbles us so much. And we think, oh Lord, that's nothing but the Lord working there. And see the way the Lord works and leads us and makes a plan for us. And sometimes it don't look like there's any way something come out of that. And then all of a sudden, you feel bad about it. You think, oh, I feel like part of you wants to raise up against or had some issues with neighbors over the years of one thing or other that didn't hardly make no sense. And the Lord's plan was to humble yourself. It's always a key element of the plan of God to humble yourself. And we did, humbled ourselves and thought this one there, and years roll by and you think it ain't doing nothing. Then all of a sudden, something happened just this last week and it just humbled us. One of our neighbor ladies come over there and it just humbled me. I had no idea, but she come over there and brought us a bag of apples and brought us some milk and this stuff and said she got this stuff and she wanted it and she appreciated that I'd been doing some mowing for her and stuff and done that, and I was just kind of taken by it. And then just a few days after that, after the baby was born, she came over there with a bunch of new baby clothes, bought it for me. And I was so humble and so glad that God made friends for me. He has a plan. He has a plan for every one of our lives. You know what? What keeps us from getting the blessings of it? The real challenge with God's plan is not that He's not a good planner. It's that you and I, if we're not careful, value our own plans more than we value God's plans. God comes in with these plans while you stay humble. And you trust in me, and I'll work it out in due season. And we come in and say, I don't want to be humble, and I can't wait that long. And there the whole plan is lost. And the very fruit that God intended to have, just like old Jonah running away, he would never have got the repentance out of them. No one would ever preach to him. But yet God wanted there to be a good saint, not just you say preacher, a preacher, yes, preaching the life. Living the plan of God. And it will bear fruit in your life all the way along if you follow this plan. I desire your prayers. I want to live the plan of God in my life.